Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
B-Pod Studios.
Sub. Get out of here. Come on. Don't listen to them. Listen to no one.
Don't listen to them. You're going to ruin your career.
But you're rich.
You can't listen to those people. They're maniacs.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tutcher and Rich, no Fred, no Rich, Jones, Wallach, Lockhart. We're going to talk to Chris Forsberg, NBC Sports Boston, about 15 minutes from now. I caught a little bit of their coverage of NBA free agency last night, and it was just 5 minutes of everybody yelling at Skel. It was awesome.
Skel is it was, of the mind.
It was hilarious. Yeah. Abby, Forsberg.
Yeah.
I think Mannix. They were just hollering at Skel, and I was like, I didn't really even see how it started, but I found that to be very amusing.
I have an idea. Skel was saying, you know, the Celtics are set at point guard. There's no reason to worry, and that was part of it. That was part of the reason why everyone kind of jumped on him. But, yeah, it'd be interesting because Forsberg was part of that dog pile on top of him.
So I want to get to that. And NBA free agency that apparently left the Celtics behind. Because they Lockhart, excuse me, I wasn't hanging on every word there in the update.
How dare you?
Are the Celtics doing lots? Have they done anything in free agency?
They're not doing anything, actually.
Okay. All right. Well, we try to be, for the most part, a spoiler-free zone here. By the way, in a related story, Simone Biles did win bronze on the beam, as it were, in case you missed that. So I want to get to NBA free agency, but a couple of things. Number one, this is a tweet I'll disagree with. Chris tweets in, whose tweet was this? Where? Cash tweets in. Jones has never been more right. Well, that's true. The Cape couldn't be more overrated. Traffic sucks. Beach sucks. Shark lines for everything. Come to New Hampshire, find a lake and chill.
Please.
No. Maybe the New Hampshire coast, maybe. A lake? No.
Here we go.
Gross.
Here we go. Talking to a guy who grew up in Vermont.
No, it's a whole Vermont, New Hampshire thing. No. I'm from Vermont. There's not even a Vermont coastline, obviously. But lakes? Gross. I'm not doing lakes.
Just spent a week on a lake. It was very nice.
Gross.
I was going to say you know what the best part of New Hampshire is?
What?
Is that it's very small in order to get to another state.
You just dip right through to Maine.
You only have to be in New Hampshire for a short amount of time.
Not a lake guy. Like, I'm not that gross. I've been getting a lot of tweets about this, too. Chris tweets, and I believe the only shark death was in Maine last year.
Ooh. Yes, that's true. That's true. Up near Booth Bay Harbor.
Okay. So
the only shark death.
Right.
In America? I think
they meant New England recently. I think was the context I got there. Yeah. But I believe Todd in Framingham has more on this. Go ahead, Todd.
Oh, yeah. I was going to just say the same thing. There was a woman killed in Maine. And, like, there's not coyotes in Maine or bears or whatever.
Well, I haven't seen people being hounded on the beach. But no, if there's a bear, then I got to rethink my stance on Maine.
Well, there are plenty of bears in Maine.
Why did he just say there weren't?
Yes.
No. I think that I believe that was sarcasm. Is what I believe he was saying.
I was going to say the Maine black bears.
Right. Here's all I know. If I'm going to be dealing with sharks either way, and I'm going to be dealing with mosquitoes either way, and coyotes either way, then I'm going to go to the place that I don't have to sit in traffic to get there. So
smart.
Still Maine. Still Maine in that whole scenario.
You still have to sit in traffic going. I think at this point you go into traffic everywhere, right?
Maine's not too bad going there. I mean, my experience going there is not too bad. Coming back can kind of stink.
Yeah.
Dan would probably be better to speak to on this. In my experience going there, it's never all that bad. Coming back, I've sat from Maine for sure.
Yeah, you have to leave early. For instance, I live in the Boston area. It's taken me 3.5 hours to get home from Maine.
But it's nothing like Cape
holiday
traffic.
Weekend.
It's nothing like Cape traffic.
Cape traffic sucks, yes.
Well, it's the worst.
Yeah.
The second worst after that, however, would be the Celtics and their start to free agency, which they've done nothing. You know, Fournier's gone, and I didn't want to pay Fournier $20 million a year.
No.
But so much for the victory lap any Celtics fans were taking about, oh, they got something for Gordon Hayward. No, they didn't. They got like 17 games out of Evan Fournier, who took down Team USA in exhibition, and that's about all he's done. Now he's a New York Knick, which, look, I don't think that's a smart contract for New York. I don't think anything they've handed out is a smart contract thus far in free agency. But they've gotten better. The Knicks have gotten better while the Celtics have done nothing. In fact, the only thing the Celtics want to do, apparently, is bring back the whole crew from a few years ago. They want to bring back Avery Bradley. They want to bring back, or wanted to bring back, Jeff Green and Kelly Olynyk, both signed elsewhere. I think Jeff Green signed in Denver. Olynyk signed in Detroit,
Detroit. They get 3 years and $37 million.
They reportedly want to bring back Isaiah, which we were joking about yesterday, Wallach. We're like, well, bring back Isaiah while you're at it. Apparently they want to. I thought that was a joke, but apparently they want to. Like, that's all they're trying to accomplish. And I get what Wallach has been saying. One-year deal, maintain your cap space. Like, I do get that to a degree, but you don't just have to bring back all the players that fans used to like.
Well, that's to keep them interested.
To accomplish that.
That's
I know,
to keep them interested.
But aren't fans going to see through that? Aren't fans smart enough to see through that?
Sure they are.
Yeah. Well, then why on Twitter,
well, then why do it? Right now, you have to fill out... Right now, you're in a... position where you have to fill out roster spots. I mean, you're short three or four guys. I mean, sorry to say, Taco Fall's not walking through that door again. You don't have him at the end of the bench. You need to sign more players. And
yeah, right. But my point is, you can sign guys without bringing back like the feel good days, how feel good they even were of like Isaiah. And I've been a big proponent of bringing Isaiah back like 2 and 3 years ago. Now I'm like, even now, and I'm like Team Isaiah all the way. Even now, I'm like, I really, really don't get that one.
No, that's not the same guy you had. It's a guy that's broke down at the end of his career.
And the game has changed to the point where, I mean, you've seen Kemba Walker struggle on defense with everybody switching everything. Kemba Walker's 4 inches taller than Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah can,
Kemba's a much, much, much better, at least he'd take charges and stuff. He's a much better defender than Isaiah.
I guess what I'm saying is everybody switches everything in the NBA on defense. All NBA teams, successful NBA teams, for the most part, have guys between 6'5 and 6'10 that can play all kinds of different positions, 1 through 5. Everybody guards everybody. Everyone can knock down threes. If you're Isaiah Thomas, in today's day and age, you can pretty much score at will if you get enough minutes, but you can't play defense anywhere. That's the problem. That's why Isaiah hasn't signed with anyone. My understanding is he's been completely healthy for about a year. And I think was it Denver that gave him a week or two?
There were a few teams that gave him a chance.
New Orleans had him, but there's a reason he's not sticking. It's because in today's NBA, there's no room for a 5'9 guy. He can't, today's NBA, you can't play if you're 5'9.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can in a role off the bench, but why bother if you're the Celtics? Like, why? I don't understand. Like, Wallach, you said it, and I think this is their thought process. Like, well, if we're not going to be good, let's just bring back players that fans like and the feel good nostalgia days
from the fringes.
From the Bridgie Celtics. But, like, fans aren't that. Are fans that dumb? Are Celtics fans that dumb they're going to fall for that?
No, but I also think Celtics fans realize what's going on here now. The Celtics fans also understand, because they're smart, what's going on here. Oh. They're pivoting away from one way of doing things and hopefully going to bring in a max player sooner rather than later. And to do that, you're going to be stuck with a season like this one coming.
Yeah, but you just went through that season last year, too. Like, it's like...
But that was with a certain direction in mind. I mean, they thought, you had reached the Eastern Conference Finals the year before.
You got to walk a fine line if you're the Celtics of, forecasting to your fan base that we're not going to be very good this year. Because you don't want to be where the Red Sox were. I still don't think the Red Sox have pulled out of it, by the way. Like, the Red Sox for 2 years, I mean, and they were bad. The Celtics won't be that bad. But the Red Sox for 2 years were bad and unwatchable, and no one watched them. And they lost market share, and they lost interest, and they lost buzz, and they are struggling to bring fans back. If you're just forecasting to your whole fan base that, hey, we're not really trying this year, we're going to bring back Isaiah, how do you feel about that?
There's no other way to go about doing this, Jones.
Of course, they can't really do it. Of course they can. They can trade smart. You can make moves.
Okay, if you trade smart and bring in who? Lonzo Ball, was that the guy you wanted?
I would have brought in Ball over Smart, yes.
If you trade Marcus Smart and bring in Lonzo Ball, your chance of getting a max player in 2 years
are zero. I think your chance of getting a max player that's actually worth a max deal.
You will have a max player slot open to you now in 2 years.
The Knicks have a max player slot. Who'd they get? Nobody. They had to sign Fournier.
So you're saying by bringing in Lonzo Ball and crushing any opportunity you have for a max player, does that make this team viable in two or three years?
Maybe
you have more of a chance to make it viable in a shorter amount of time if you don't
make that deal. You're allowed to trade for people. You're allowed to trade for other superstars.
Fine. So, who are the tradable contracts other than Marcus Smart?
Well, maybe Lonzo Ball is a piece they would look at. Maybe that makes Brown.
Lonzo Ball is the third person in the big three.
Maybe it makes Brown more tradable.
That is a gigantic mistake. If you bring in Lonzo Ball and trade Jalen Brown for Bradley Beal, I assume you're thinking.
Yeah.
And of course, you're going to have to ship off three or four first round draft picks in advance of that. So it would be Jalen Brown, at least two or three first round picks, and you would have.
I just don't like saying they have no options.
Tatum, Beal, Ball.
So they have no options. They have no options.
This is their option. I'm telling you what their option is. Their option is
to do nothing.
To be patient for this year, and hopefully you have a max slot available to you.
You, by the way, can trade Smart for another guy on a 1 year deal. You can keep your cap space. You could trade Smart for another guy on a one-year deal and change your makeup.
Right.
So don't say they can't do anything.
Well, they can, but they're not necessarily going to get any better than what they're going to be this year.
They could be a top four seed in the East by making some changes on the margins.
Either way, you keep saying championship or bust. It's either way, you're a first or second round knockout.
No one is under the guise that this team is winning a championship this year. I mean, the goal long term should be championship or bust.
And the way to do that is to get another max player in here as soon as possible to match up with Tatum and Brown.
But in the meantime,
your idea is, you
should try.
Does Tatum, Beal, and Lonzo Ball get you any closer to that championship?
No, probably not.
And you have no chance at a max player, so you're stuck with those three guys.
Okay, so then get off the Lonzo Ball thing. I just told you trade Smart for another guy on a 1 year deal to change your makeup and try to be a top four seed.
You don't think there's
another guy who would fit better with those two than Smart?
Of course there is. So you do that and you win two or three more games. So you're a four seed instead of a six.
Yeah, and you're a little more interesting and you're a little more different.
I don't think it's marginal. I don't think it's nearly that much more interesting than anything that I'm proposing.
Than finishing seventh in the East?
Fourth as opposed to seventh with maybe three or four more wins?
Yeah, the Knicks were fourth last year. Do you think they were interesting?
Yeah, because they came from a point in time where they were awful for over a decade. Celtics weren't that way.
No, they were awful last year. So try to be a little better.
You can be in 2 years if you do it this way. If you do it your way, you're screwed cap-wise for another three or four.
I think their only chance is Beal. And I'm not feeling too great about their Beal chances these days. That's their only chance with a free agent. So you can make trades. Adding pieces, talent that other teams like, is a good way to make a trade. Or you could just do nothing and sit on your hands like they've done. Because apparently they have no options. 617-779-0985. We can get to the future of Marcus Smart a little further. Chris Mannix wrote about that in his big free agency preview. And we have Chris Forsberg, fresh off the dog pile.
Yes.
As you guys put
dog
it,
pile on scale.
On Brian Scalabrine last night. Let's get to that next.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Night Train overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Roger and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Adam Jones, John Wallach, Mike Lockhart. Taking you up until 10 a.m. here on a Tuesday with all your phone calls. 617-779-0985. I mentioned Chris Mannix wrote about the future of Marcus Smart, potential future of Marcus Smart. He was on NBC Sports Boston yelling at Scal last night, as was our guest Chris Forsberg, who covers the Celtics for NBC Sports Boston and joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Forsberg, I tuned in. I hate to say briefly, but I tuned into your coverage briefly last night, and I enjoyed very much. Everyone was just yelling at Scal. It was you and Mannix and Abby. Like, everybody was just going all in on Scal. But I kind of missed the setup. What was going on there?
Well, one, he was like, just really the biggest Peyton Pritchard fan I could ever heard of. Like, as much as I stumped for Time Lord, he was going off about how Marcus Smart and Peyton Pritchard were all you needed for point guards, and it kind of blew my mind. I don't know if you watched the Celtics lately, but they've been a little bit prone to injury. And so I think a lot of us were just making the point that they probably need some depth. Scal's point was that Jalen and Jason need to handle the ball more and learn in that role. But it's just always fun. Like, I mean, those shows always devolve into us screaming at Scal because he says crazy things, and sometimes you just got to put him in his place.
Yeah, usually when Abby gets involved and starts yelling, you know that it's just a horrible, horrible take by somebody.
So you know, look, she's got to stand her ground, you know? Like, I mean, when Scal brings the crazy, we got to go push back right at him. But it makes it fun when, you know, look, Mannix said some crazy stuff too, this whole Marcus Smart stuff. So, like, it's just fun to yell at people.
Okay, well, I don't disagree with that. I love nothing more than yelling at people. So that is true. We can get to Smart and his future coming up here in a moment. How do we feel about the Celtics doing nothing to this point in free agency? Not anything on the margins, no mid-level signings, no trades, no nothing. How do we feel about that?
Not great. Like, so look, I think it's pretty clear with the moves they made here in the infancy of the Brad Stevens, president of basketball operations era, that they're playing a little bit of a long game. And they probably identified that, hey, instead of paying Evan Fournier a bit more than you were comfortable with, you're trying to add an impact player down the road, whether that's via, you know, potential cap space or, you know, a trade along the way. I think they're just sort of, you know, the hard part is to identify, are they just sitting there waiting for one guy? Do they know that Bradley Beal is going to shake free at some point, and that's what they need to keep Jason Tatum happy, and that's the best path forward for this team? Is there, like, a mystery player? You know, that's the one thing I don't know, and it's hard to identify exactly where they're going, or if they're just sort of crossing their fingers and hoping that flexibility leads to that point. You know, I was okay with them sort of working on the margins this offseason if you were comfortable bringing back Fournier, because at least then, you know, you get another look at it. How does it look with Marcus Smart at that point guard spot? Does Fournier get more comfortable? Do Jason and Jalen go up a little bit? You know, and there's a better depth on the roster, put you in position to be a little bit more competitive. But, you know, certainly as it stands and based on what they have left to do, it doesn't feel like they're really in the mix this year. And my big concern is, you know, you only get so many years with Jalen and Jason as your core. And to sort of just have to sit there and wait for the next piece is a little bit frustrating, because I think those guys will get frustrated a little bit along the way if you don't show that you're trying to compete.
Okay, so now that Fournier's contract is off the books, and following the NBA salary cap is more math than I could ever possibly hope to understand. But my understanding is now that Fournier's cap hold is gone and he is somewhere else, the Celtics can use the mid-level, the 9.5 mid-level, to stay under the luxury tax threshold. I think that's right. Chris, I need you to sort out what the Celtics can and can't do and exactly how much money they can spend here.
So they technically can use that bigger mid-level exception, the $9.7 million, $9.5 million exception if they wanted. The problem is if you use that, it hard caps you. And so at no point during the season can you go over the luxury tax threshold. And why that's cumbersome is if a star player does become available and you have the means to trade for him, you know, you don't want the one thing to prohibit you is that you can't get below that number, or you have to send out, like, additional young talent just to make the money work. And so if the goal here is flexibility and you are just sort of in wait and see mode, I think it's still more likely that they use the taxpayer mid-level of $5.9 million. And so, like, look, you know, they the other thing is they've got to be a little bit flexible in terms of how long they want to sign that player. So
I was just going to ask that, Forsberg, and sorry to jump in, but we were talking about this in the last break. Like, we talk about their flexibility. If you're paying someone with that full mid-level, right, and you hard cap yourself, no one's going to be taking a one-year $9.5 million deal, right? Those guys are going to be more highly sought-after free agents. They're going to want 2-, 3-, 4-year deals. Like, the lower taxpayer mid-level, whatever it is, at 5 and change, maybe you can get a guy on a one-year deal, and that keeps the flexibility of cap space moving forward.
Yeah, and then, like, look, we saw it last year, right, where they signed Tristan Thompson to a two-year deal on the mid-level, and that second year, now you don't really want him on the roster because he didn't play to expectations, and you're in a bind to have to move him. And so I think whatever they did, they were going to probably try to build in some flexibility. But, yeah, I think they'll use that smaller one, and it'll probably be like a one-plus-one deal or someone who's just, like, trying to reestablish their value, or a veteran player who just wants to play for the minimum. You know, maybe they split it up. Maybe they give, like, $4 million of it to somebody and use a little bit to sign someone else. We'll see how their summer league dudes do. But they just don't have a lot of means. The one thing I'll say is the only avenue left that I see to add a really impactful player is that this Tristan Thompson deal isn't done, and there's a chance for them to potentially go after someone in a salary, someone in that $9.7 million up to like $15 million, depending on how they do the math. So there's still the opportunity to go get like someone that could really help them, and I think it's got to be at the sort of big wing spot. You know, so I keep saying like if they could go get a Kyle Anderson out of Memphis, but you're gonna have to give up more assets. So are you gonna sacrifice a young player to go get that? And so that's what they're balancing right now, trying to figure that out. It might ultimately come down that they just settle for the trade exception. I know people are sick and tired of the trade exception.
Yeah,
so am
I. Yeah,
yeah.
I think we're done.
If we get an Evan Fournier trade exception, I'm going to lose my mind because I can't spend another calendar year talking about the potential options with a bulky trade exception. So, but again, like trade exceptions disappear if you elect to use cap space. So I don't even know if that's a worthwhile avenue for this team to pursue. The long story is like there's tons of flexibility and that's great. And flexibility is awesome, especially when you already have like a core of a team. But there's also no guarantees that the next star is coming along unless they know something that we don't.
So the latest kind of hot rumor right now is the Celtics trading Marcus Smart. Who would be a potential trade partner for them, and what do you think they could get back in return?
Yeah.
See, I understand they gotta kind of explore all these things, especially because Marcus is entering the final year of his contract. I think it's far more likely that they extend him. I think will be agreeable to that. I think you can get him at a number that is pretty comfortable where even if you get into this season or further out and it doesn't work, he's still a trade asset.
What's the number? What's the number?
He's got to want like Fournier money, right?
Yeah, that's what I was reading last night. He wants $20 million a year. That's a hard pass, correct?
So the Celtics can offer him a four-year extension at 120% of his salary right now, and that puts him at average annual value, I think, is just north of 18 over the 5 years that he would be here.
Do you do that, Chris?
Yeah, I think you do because as jarring as those numbers are right now, you know, there's an influx of TV money coming further down the road, and like $18 million is going to feel like the mid level. We do this all the time.
Well,
we like
true.
Get so worked up about,
but now the cap space. But now the cap space is gone. If you do that, right now,
yeah,
your 2022 cap space is gone.
Exactly. So that's the balance. It's like you either. You're now in the position where the only way you're getting the next star is a trade. Like you could go after a $20 million, $25 million player, but you're not probably going to get to Bradley Beal max cap space if you do that. But, you know, and maybe they need to make a decision about maybe it's one or the other. Like, can you extend Marcus Smart and then not do Robert Williams? Like, my fear is that Robert Williams stays healthy. And I know that sounds crazy, but like if he stays healthy, you just saw Jared Allen get $100 million or whatever. Like, someone will overpay. It happens every year. Some guy gets to restricted free agency or regular free agency, and someone pays a bundle of money, and teams like New Orleans can't pay to retain Lonzo Ball because they've got other priorities. And so I wonder if the Celtics would be better off maybe extending both, extending one. You know, if you extend both, you can still navigate via trade to try and get that next player. You hope that your younger guys develop. You just use draft picks. Again, it's a little bit convoluted, but I just feel like, you know, they've got some tougher decisions to make about how they balance this, and if flexibility is key, I wonder if Brad will do anything at all.
All right, he is Chris Forsberg. You can check him out at NBC Sports Boston, yelling at Scal, among other people. You can follow him on Twitter at Chris Forsberg _. We still got to work on that underscore at the end.
Yeah, I know, man. Like, I don't know if you know somebody that can help me. There's a Chris Forsberg in Brazil. That is like some computer guy that sat on at Chris Ford's.
He's squatting.
I'm so mad. I kind of want to fly down there and challenge him to a fight.
Probably a bot.
You got to be careful though, because Brazil is like jujitsu and stuff down there. You got to worry about
you
that.
You know what, Forsberg? You might mess up your hair. You got to be careful.
Yeah, true. Can't mess up this beautiful face.
That's very true. All right, Forsberg. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right, Chris Forsberg, as all our guests, joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. I mean, this is the thing with Smart, like. Celtics fans do want to keep him, and I hear what Forsberg is saying. Like, I'm not a Marcus Smart guy, but whatever. If you are, you just have to understand extending him or Robert Williams, never mind both, that cap space that you maneuvered to get with the Kemba Al Horford trade, you extend him 4 years at whatever the number is. Even if the cap is going up and it'll look more reasonable in 3 or 4 years, even with that qualifier, you're not going to be able to make this run at a free agent that you want to do, Waller.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I looked at that number for Smart, and I am a huge Marcus Smart fan, but if you extend him at 4 or 5 years for $18 million per, I can't see that.
If we know anything about Marcus Smart, do you feel that in Marcus's mind, he thinks he's better than Evan Fournier, yes or no?
Yes. He absolutely feels that.
Well, then Fournier's the floor. That's what he's doing.
So
that's the problem.
I can't see it. I can't see the Celtics doing that.
So that's why I trade him. Because I think you still can get something. Not much. Maybe not as much as you'd hope for. And we'll get to this.
And in the meantime, you still need a point guard.
Yes, correct. Well, not according to Scali. They got Peyton Pritchard. But we will get to Chris Mannix and what he wrote about Marcus Smart and a potential trade return for Marcus Smart right after the headlines here from Mike Lockhart.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Toucher and Rich.
Slow. Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
.39 here on the Sports Hub, Toucher and Rich. Fred and Rich out. Jones, Wallach, Lockhart in. I've referenced Chris Mannix a couple of different times. I know this was discussed later in the day yesterday on the Sports Hub, but we haven't really gotten an opportunity to get to it yet other than kind of tangentially referencing it. Chris Mannix in a big free agency preview with all the buzz around the league, and he had a few other items on the Celtics that they were interested in Spencer Dinwiddie, who promptly signed in Washington for $120+ million, whatever it was. He writes that Boston's acquisition of Josh Richardson could spell the end of Marcus Smart's run in Boston. And this is something we talked about yesterday, Wallach, with D-Rob. Yeah. Like, and I'd put Chris Dunn in the same boat. I know that Tristan Thompson deal isn't official yet, but Chris Dunn, Josh Richardson, they're bringing in defensive-minded, either a big guard like Dunn or a wing like Richardson.
If Dunn actually sees the floor.
Yeah, he might not even be on the team. Like, that deal isn't finalized. So, like, I'm just saying, the fact that they're trying to bring in that type of player raises my antenna a little bit with Smart. So I kind of agree with where Mannix is going with connecting those dots. Smart has become a fan favorite over 7 years in Boston, has he? I haven't noticed. But Brad Stevens has been frustrated by Smart's unpredictable play in recent years, per sources. So that's not Jones, Lockhart. That's not media members, fans, because that's Brad Stevens is frustrated, which I just find hard to picture. Like, I find that hard to picture, that he's frustrated with anybody, let alone Marcus Smart, who he gives so much time to. Like, there'd be a good, if you're so frustrated with Smart, I have a solution. You don't have to play him at the end of games. You don't have to play him so much. That would have been my solution. Smart, one of the NBA's better perimeter defenders, Mannix writes, is entering the final year of his contract. Boston could extend Smart, but two people familiar with Stevens' thinking tell SI it's more likely Stevens will look to trade Smart before the end of the year. Offseason, I think is what that means. Before the start of the season.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry. I said end of the season. Start of the season is what it says. Boston shopped Smart last year, seeking multiple first-round picks. A team executive with knowledge of the discussions told SI, Smart's value now? Probably a first-round pick and a rotational player. A high-ranking Eastern Conference executive told SI, might be able to swap him for a similar player that fits a positional need. Danny Ainge valued him like an all-star, though. He is not. Which I thought was a good dagger there at the end from that that executive. I mean, Ainge overvalued his own player or wanted to rip off another team or whatever it was in a deal. But okay, Marcus Smart for a rotational piece plus a first-round pick or a similar player at another position of need that I would add fits with Tatum and Brown, doesn't need to hunt shots at the end of game, isn't looking to shoot the basketball, but is looking to defer to Tatum and Brown. I would do that kind of deal. It sounds like you wouldn't, Wallach.
As I said, I am a huge Marcus Smart fan. I'm on that island that has a decreasing population. I love what he brings to the team, although he didn't bring a lot of it during this past season when everything kind of got stale and players stopped playing defense. And I remember earlier last season when they weren't playing any defense for Brad and Smart was hurt. I think it was a calf muscle, whatever it was.
Yep.
He was out for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all saying on this station and most of the music,
when he comes back,
you know, the attitude.
Wait till Marcus Smart comes back.
And you know what? He came back and it didn't change. So I'm not blind. I see what happens and I see what's happening. And if you're telling me, would I trade Smart for a first round pick and a rotational player, or would I turn around and sign him using bird rights to 5 years and $18 to $20 million a season? I would lean trade at this point.
Okay, me too. Because the middle road there would be losing him for nothing, right? Trading him in season or before. I would ideally trade him before the season, but you could always trade him in season.
This is the thing. The Celtics, in an effort to maintain flexibility under the cap, around the cap, however the cap works, you maintain flexibility. I think you're kind of backed into a corner where you're in a situation where, like we said earlier the hour, they're going to finish 5, 6, 7, 8 the East this year. And in order to maintain that flexibility and build up future assets and maybe get a guy that can help you in the future, Smart has the most tradable contract of any you have on your roster.
And look, I'm not a Marcus Smart guy. I haven't been for years, but you shouldn't lose him for nothing. Like, I think that would be poor asset management. Lockhart, where do you come down on the Marcus Smart debate?
I was always a big Marcus Smart fan, and last year he really turned me off. Like, the shooting's never been good, but the defense was always something that kept you in it. But last year when he came back, the defense just wasn't there. The whole team was terrible defensively. And he's always hurt. There's always something. He's punching windows. He gets hurt. He's always missing like 20 games a year.
Los Angeles, picture frame.
Right.
Not a window, picture frame.
All right. Well, he's punching glass.
That was
just not smart.
That was when he missed a potential game winner at the buzzer.
Right. Of course he did.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a guy that pisses me off. It's same thing with like Tuukka Rask argument. There's always something.
Right.
There's always something with Marcus Smart where he's not on the floor every single year, it seems like.
Yeah,
drives me crazy.
I think, you know, the Bruins-Celtics analogy is not a bad one. I mean, the Bruins have had a much better run with their core. You know, at least they get to cup finals before they choke. But the Celtics do need to just kind of change things up a little bit around Tatum and Brown.
Right.
I think they do. And I just think if Brad Stevens of mild-mannered GM Willikers is over the Marcus Smart experiment, then they need to move
Sounds
on.
Like, yeah.
They
Sounds
need to move
like
on.
He is.
Even if it's just for another change of scenery guy, another guy in the final year of their deal that could help you in the rotation, that isn't hunting for shots, maybe is more of a pure point guard, and you're telling me you could get a first-round pick on top of it? Probably not a lottery pick, but a first-round pick on top of it? Great. That sounds like a no-brainer to me.
As long as you bring in a guy that isn't going to damage your cap chances down the road.
I just said, a guy on
like
on the final year of his deal.
Yeah,
yes,
fine.
Exactly. You can't be taking on years I do agree with that. Now, Lonzo Ball is maybe a piece that I would have made an exception for because I think he's a higher ceiling player. But that's gone now. That's he's over and done with. That's out the window.
The question is, you obviously see Lonzo Ball different than I do. If you get Lonzo Ball, which isn't going to happen, I get that, he's the third guy of your big three moving forward. And I don't think he's nearly good enough to be that guy.
And not on a championship team. I think he would make you better, but yes, I would agree with that. Not on a championship team. But I think he's a good fit with Tatum and Brown.
He's a better fit than Kemba was.
Yes,
that's 100%.
He is, but if you want to go and bring in a very strong third guy.
I know, but just again, Lonzo
Ball damages that.
But how are you doing that in your mind?
You have to wait. And I don't
So free agency is your answer.
Yes.
Okay.
You have to bring in a max player.
The only true max player. Now, the Celtics have signed guys to max deals who are, in my mind, and never were max players. And you can roll the tape. I never thought Horford was a max player. He's not. I never thought Hayward was a max player. He's not. I never thought Kemba Walker was a max player. And, like, they're all getting these deals. Max players should be the best players on championship-caliber teams.
Right.
None of those guys are that. None of them. They never were. Kyrie's the only real true max, outside of Tatum now, the only true max guy they've had. So I think you have a chance at Beal only solely because of his Tatum relationship. That's it. I don't think you have a chance at these other, like, what other free agent's going to come to Boston? I think it's much more likely Tatum's going to get recruited away. We talked about that Stephen A. clip yesterday where Lillard could go to the Knicks, although I have no idea how that's happening with all the bad contracts they've signed in free agency. Lillard could go to the Knicks and recruit Embiid or Tatum to New York. I think you got to be far more concerned about your guys getting recruited away than who you're recruiting here outside of Beal. I don't think free agency is a realistic route here. I don't.
Outside
of Beal.
Ultimately, there are two paths you could choose. One is be patient, and Chris Forsberg was just on with us saying that route kind of sucks because it's, you know, sitting on your hands and waiting is never a fun thing.
Yep.
But
and he wanted to pay smart.
It gives you. I know he did want to pay smart, which I disagree with. But ultimately, I think it might be your best path to getting better sooner. Instead of just adding guys to add them because they're better fits with Tatum or Brown in the short term, I think long term, this is your best chance to be a more healthy organization. And it sucks because this season is going to be, by definition, mediocre.
But it is just a chance. Because what you could do is sit on your hands, wait for the free agent that never comes. You know, the old Danny Ainge rope-a-dope. Like, there's always another star out there that I can dangle in front of the fan base that they'll get excited about. But you could sit on your hands, do nothing, wait. Bradley Beal stays in Washington or chooses to go somewhere else. Nobody comes here in free agency, and now what? Like, I mean, you could be that. So yeah. There's risk in waiting would be my only point.
And there's also risk in adding guys
totally.
To add them.
Totally.
And then you're no better off than you are now.
I just feel like, Wallach, from the Celtics people, I tend to hear more about that risk than the risk in waiting. That's all. That's all. We do have some issues, as you know, on the MBTA. Have you perhaps heard that we've had some issues with the MBTA over the years,
yes.
Up to and including the Green Line recently?
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's get to some of the details there coming up next.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Night Train overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
They get you going.
That's a difficult
thing to get through.
Every day.
That is 4 hours of conversation.
Toucher and Rich on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
We're coming up on 9 o'clock, 98.5, The Sports Hub. Adam Jones, Sean Wallach, Mike Lockhart, in for Toucher and Rich here this morning. We talked to Shalize Manzi-Young in the 6 o'clock hour about what's going on in Tokyo. We'll get back to Shalize coming up at the top of the next hour. First-hand reporting as to the experience from a reporter's standpoint, which, again, we'll get to with Shalize Manzi-Young coming up. If you're in Boston, you know how smoothly the MBTA runs. I mean, nothing runs as smoothly as that. I mean, it's just, you want to talk about efficiency, on time, you know, cheap, very affordable.
Swiss watch.
Yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, dependable, as Dan O'Brien just said in my ear. You know, no real issues budget-wise or anything. You know, no worries when it comes
clean.
To the MBTA. Clean, cleanly.
You definitely won't get groped.
Reliable. Yeah exactly. Yeah. Just like, you know, the perfect thing to ride around on. And I'm sure most of you are familiar by now, but last Friday, we had two trains collide on Comm Ave. And we're now getting some of the details about exactly what went down. And it turns out, like everything, it's user error. You know, it's somebody not doing their job, not paying attention. The two trains collided with the second one going 30 miles per hour. 30 miles per hour, which I said at first, I'm like, I guess that's not that fast. 30 miles an hour for a train for the T, that's pretty fast.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm like, okay, car, that's not that fast. 30 miles per hour, that's not that bad. No. The speed limit's 10. I'm a little confused on the story now that I've read it. The first train was moving as well, or the first train was stopped? I feel like I've read both.
I thought it was stopped.
I feel like I've read that it stopped, but I've also read that it was moving 10 miles per hour, so I'm a little unclear on that detail. But the thing was going 30 miles an hour and crashed into the other one because the guy's got his head up his ass.
Why does this all, I mean, what is the problem with the T in this city? I mean, we've complained about it for years. All of us have ridden the T, everyone except Zolak anyway, has ridden the T, and we've all had problems. The tracks are bad when it's too hot. The tracks are bad when it's too cold. You know, it snowed too much, so the T shut down for a week. Why can they not fix all of these problems? Drivers crash into other trolleys. It just seems like here is much different than anywhere else in the country. Am I wrong in this? I mean, I'm sure other major cities have problems with their public transportation, but it just seems like here is worse than everywhere else.
Does,
am I wrong?
It does feel that way. We're a little close to it, so maybe it just seems worse here. But no, yeah, I would say yes. And apparently, I mean, to answer your question, what's part of the problem? Like, I don't know. We spend so much money on the T already that they got to try to cut corners with certain things and certain safeguards that maybe they could put in. Like, I was reading about this in one of the stories here that Dan sent. You know, they want to try to put in some safeguards, like to prevent if one train's coming up on another, like some sensor that could maybe trigger the brakes to click on in case of user error. But I don't know, it's going to cost a lot of money, and the T's already so expensive. Like, I don't know. And when I say expensive, like way over budget, and you know, we don't want to throw any more money at it. Like,
that's one of the reasons they wanted the Olympics here. They wanted the Olympics here because
the T runs so smoothly.
We'd get the money to refurbish the transit system and then make it a shining beacon of example for the rest of the world.
So it
runs.
So these safeguards will be part of a $170 million project to be completed by 2024, designed to reduce the risk of train collisions by installing overrun protection, collision avoidance monitoring, and speed enforcing transponders. Or you could just have people not texting, you know, or you could just have people, you know, with their head not, because the guy had to be texting, right?
Yeah.
Had to be.
Or falling asleep or something. I mean, Jesus.
Friday night, 6 o'clock, he's making plans. What are we doing?
I mean, that's a good, I mean, who among
this
us?
This is my last route. I'm two stops away.
Who among us hasn't? You know, you're on Comm Ave. You're like, oh, look at all the bars.
Don't they have a lot of those things that you're talking about in vehicles right now?
Yes.
Speed sensing.
Yeah.
Automatic braking.
I have one of those in my
things.
Car. Yes.
Excuse me. Moneybags Wallach over here.
It's a really tough thing to find. It's a tough option to find on a car.
I have no idea. Wallach's got like self-driving cars over here with all these sensors.
That's Rich.
That's Rich has the self-driving car, not me.
Self-parking?
Yeah.
Self-driving.
Self-driving.
Ooh.
Rich has one of those.
Ooh.
I do not have that.
No, so yeah, so right. You would think these would be
dumbass. I have the hey dumbass, you're going too fast. Yeah. Let me hit the brakes for you so you don't hit anybody.
Yeah, but you know, to put in the little beep to beep at the guy who's texting, it costs $170 million. And it won't be in until 2024. So this is the problem. But anyway, 30 miles per hour. I actually didn't even bat an eye at the headline until you really think about it. 30 miles an hour on the tee? Yeah.
If you were on that trolley, you'd probably be like, wow, this thing is out of control. There was a trolley, not a train.
Is anyone driving this thing?
That's a good point. It's a green line, right? So it's above ground trolley. There was someone quoted in the story that it was like one of the worst amusement park rides ever that you could imagine jerking around on the track. So yes, that sounds not fun, and you don't mean to make light of it, right? 25+ people were injured in the accident. So there's the latest there. Mike Lockhart with all the latest here in your Hub headlines, and we're right back with Shalise Manza Young.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Night Train overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21+ and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.